How are you, everybody? How's everything going with you? How's every little nook and cranny in your life? How you doing? I have sincere interest in you. Okay, that's enough.
Ron Van Dam is an experienced talk show host. Do not attempt to try this at home.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello.
Hold on tight. Right. Things can get a bit weird.
You bet.
If you like that sort of thing.
Boop, 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 whatever.
Whatever.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Dam Show.
Sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, a cup of tea, whatever your liquid libation may be in the morning, and join us as we take a look at the world around us. As much as it's a pleasure to be with you, the pleasure is actually all yours. And now, here's your host, Ron Van Dam.
Thank you very much, Julie. Welcome to the program. My name is indeed Ron Van Dam. If you say it properly, it sounds very cool. It really does. You don't know how many times people say to me, is Jean-Claude Van Damme your brother? And you don't know how many times I say to them, yes, he is. Even though he's not, yes, he is. Why not? Why not? It throws them for a loop because they're kind of kidding. And then I respond with a very straight face and I say, yes, he is. And then you can see the face on them. It's like, Oh. Even though Jean-Claude Van Damme's name is spelled completely different, what do they know? They don't know how I spell my name. They don't know how they spell his. They don't know anything. Nobody knows anything anymore. I don't know anything. You don't know anything. Nobody knows anything. President Trump is meeting with the leader of China for the next few days to discuss the manufacturing of his ties. Not political ties, but the ties you wear around your neck, neckties. That's most important to Donald Trump, the fake president. The fake president needs to start doing things that are somewhat effective at some point in his career. You know, he got into this little office that we call president by in his campaign being so direct and so crass and saying that he is the deal maker of the century. I think at one point he alluded to the fact that God put him on the earth in order to serve us. And at that point I thought, all right, this is getting a little weird. Yes, he said he can take care of every problem. He's got an answer to everything. He wrote the book, The Art of the Deal. Therefore, he can swing any deal he wishes and take his business expertise to the globe. Not the Boston Globe, but the globe that, the Earth. Okay. So far, he hasn't swung any deals. As a matter of fact, all the deals that he attempted to swing have swung back in his face. The building of the wall, he signed a bill, but we're going to pay for it, not Mexico, not the British Isles, not Mango, which is a country in Africa, by the way. Did you know that? It's not true. There's no such country as Mango, but it sounded like there would be. The wall thing is not, you know, now it's not forefront anymore. Now we don't talk about that anymore. And of course, he tried to do this wonderful deal with the immigration and the travel ban. That still hasn't happened. strike one. tried to put through a health care bill to obliterate Obamacare, replace it with something else. They couldn't figure out what the something else would be. Didn't pass big time. Not even talking about that right now. Oh, what a deal maker you are, my friend. What a snap of the fingers resolver you are. And his answer to the healthcare thing that didn't work out was, well, Obamacare is going to fail, and then you'll see. You'll all be out in the streets with poison ivy and some kind of conjunctivitis, and you'll all die in the streets, and they'll say, I told you so. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you very much for solving all the problems. Thank you so much. Thank you. Well, and of course, there's a problem with North Korea. There's a holdup in the Bronx. It's traffic's backed up to Jackson Heights. I don't know how the song goes. Most of you don't know what I'm talking about. There's a lot of problems. North Korea, of course, is testing its missiles to see just how far it'll go. They will go. China's not doing much about it, never has. Chemical attack in Syria on civilians. I mean, just all kinds of crap going on. Russia interfering in everybody's business, actually trying to get into your sister's diary. Russia's just trying to get into everything, hacking everything in sight. They're just a bunch of hacks. The British Isles, they did the Brexit thing, and over the next year, they're going to actually be getting out of the European Union, which sounds like a supermarket. A lot of stuff going on that the president has to deal with, and yet he makes a comment yesterday to the press about Bill O'Reilly. Hello, do you know this story? Bill O'Reilly, he's the one of the head commentators on Fox News. He has his own show. He's not a news reporter. He's just a guy that spouts his Republican views upon everybody. Apparently, over the years at Fox News, he has harassed many employees sexually. And Fox News admits that they have paid millions upon millions upon millions of dollars to the five or six women that have said that they were sexually harassed by Bill O'Reilly. Fox News has paid off these girls in order to shut up and not have a big thing. So a reporter brings this up to Donald Trump, and Donald Trump, instead of saying, I don't wish to comment, I have other things that I need to deal with that are far more as important as sexual harassment is, for those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, that's pussy grabbing, as Donald puts it. He says to the press, I fully support Bill O'Reilly. I've known Bill O'Reilly for a long time. He's a good man, and I fully support Bill O'Reilly. Oh, really? O'Reilly? And now that's caused, in the face of all these crazy things we have got going on in the world, the stupid president has to comment on something like that and take sides on a sexual harassment case. Why don't you just stand up for Bill Cosby? I mean, come on, man. Shut your mouth. I'm no Steve Bannon, but if I were a White House a cabinet member, if I was in the inner circle, I would walk up to Trump, slap him in the face, pull his stupid hair, and say, shut your freaking mouth. Stop texting, stop twitting, stop being an asshole. Just do your job and shut your mouth. You see this piece of duct tape? I'm going to put over your mouth. You're not allowed to speak for 4 years. Just do stuff. Don't say anything. And do stuff that makes sense, because your approval rating is like through the floorboards into the apartment below you. You're at 34%. You can raise it by just shutting the fuck up. That's all it takes. Just shut up. Sit there. Have lunch. Go see your wife, who you probably haven't seen in 3 weeks. Get a little boogie on or something. Why don't you sexually harass her for a change? She's your wife. Remember that? She's the one that you sent for here to bring into the country so you can have a little arm candy wife. You know how it works, Don, don't you? Just shut up. Just don't even do anything. Don't sign any papers. Don't do anything. This is what Republicans did for 8 years. Just don't do anything. Apparently it works. You got into the White House. They got majority rule in Washington. Apparently when you just sit there and do absolutely nothing at all, it works out pretty good. So just shut up. Don't do anything. Go sell some ties or something like that. Go tape a couple of apprentice shows. Or take a walk. Go down to Far Largo, whatever you call your little Florida retreat. Play some golf and just shut the hell up. Get out of my hair. Let me go on with my life. God, the more things you touch, the more things you screw up. But will he listen to me? No, never. Never listen to me. No.
Ron Van Dam likes to treat every listener as someone with whom he is having an intimate, personal relationship. Although no money changes hands, there are fewer sticky bodily fluids, about half as many apologies, and he probably won't have to get rid of your body in the long run. Other than that, it's a pretty standard relationship for Ron. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
Whenever I feel like I'm losing the audience to some extent, I simply hold up a puppy dog.
Aww.
Look at the silly little ears flopping all over. Look at the big droopy eyes.
Aww.
Look at the gigantic sized paws with the claws coming out.
Aww.
Look at all the money you've spent on dog food.
Aww.
All right. Why does it cost more money for a dog to go to the vet than it costs for me to go to the doctor? What is that about? What is that about? I'm starting not under, there's no health insurance for pets. Sure, there is, but it doesn't cover anything. It covers just regular visits is really pretty. Take a look at these healthcare packages that are offered for pets. And, you know, the American public is sweet enough on dogs and cats that we would buy all these healthcare packages for our animals. It's just that they make no sense. If it costs you like $300 a year to bring your dog to the vet to get shots and stuff, with health insurance, it's only $280, but the health insurance is $300. It just doesn't make sense. And most health insurance for pets doesn't cover like the stuff like if your dog needs something removed or, you know, has to have a leg operation or something. It doesn't cover that. That's on you. You want to have your dog's teeth cleaned? For $500, we can have your dog's teeth cleaned under the policy. You give us $500 a year. But that the cleaning's only $300. I know it doesn't make sense, but that's the world of insurance. I hate the world of insurance. I don't understand the world of insurance. I think insurance agents don't understand the world of insurance. I think the only people that understand the world of insurance are the world of insurance companies. Because they're making out like bandits. They can't go wrong. They take in all the money. You pay money for an insurance policy. Like home insurance. Let's take home insurance, for example, shall we? Oh, okay. How much is home insurance? That's like $1,500 a year. Okay. In my bathroom, a pipe burst. Oh, no. Yes, it ruined my bathroom, and it's going to cost $3,000 to make my bathroom like the way it was before. Okay, that's an insurance claim. Your deductible is $1,000. What? Yes, your deductible is $1,000. And you can place a claim, and we'll pay the other $2,000 to redo your bathroom. But my insurance, I pay $1,500 a year for insurance. That's right. Also, your premiums will go up because you placed a claim. My premiums will go up. Yes, that's right. So in the long run, you'll be paying for your own bathroom repair as if you didn't have insurance at all. It would have been cheaper for me just to pay my own bathroom claim than to pay more insurance and pay more in premiums. That's right. But here's the one catch, Mr. Van Dam. You have to have homeowners insurance. It's required by law. It's required by law? Yes, otherwise you can't have a mortgage. Oh, no. It's a scam. It's a racket. It's an approved American scam is what insurance is. Don't get me started, kids. Don't get me started. I mean, I'm very American. I love this country. I can't imagine any other place that I would rather live, except for the tiny island of Mango Mango, which doesn't exist. I'm going to start an island called Mango Mango. And on the island, only mangoes. That's the only fruit available. I'd like a banana. No, this is Mango Mango. It's not banana banana. I'm sorry. You'll have to go to the next island. Go to Peach Peach. That's a nice place to visit. Where the hell was I? Where the hell? I'm right over here. Hello, I'm over here. Hey, you want to hear a funny story? It's really not very funny, actually. It's annoying. It's an annoyingly funny story. It's a funny story that's actually very, very annoying. Here's a funny story.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
I think just about everybody listening to this show has a printer. You all have computers, don't you? You have a laptop, a computer that you put in your lap. You may have one of those tower computers, 500 feet tall, you know. You may have a smartphone that's smarter than you could ever be. And in order to print stuff out, you probably have a printer connected to any one of these devices. We all have printers. Yesterday, one of my printers, and I have two printers, by the way. Ron, why do you have two printers? Because I have two completely different systems, one for the broadcasting and one for my personal business use. So stop getting so familiar with me, please. One of my printers goes bad. I have a little screen on one of my printers and it says, your printer is dead. It's well, could you break it to me a little bit less directly? Like, first, I need a message on the screen that says your printer is becoming a little ill. And then the next message, your printer is not doing well. And then you got the message, your printer is dead. I could have handled it better that way. I could have been prepared for the death of my printer. But instead on the screen, it says, your printer is malfunctioning. Unplug it and bring it to the nearest service center. Let me explain something to you. I don't bring printers to service centers. Printers, the gas to the service center cost me more money than the original price of the printer. So shut up with your little suggestions about me bringing the printer to a service center. It's time to put my printer to sleep. Give it a lethal injection, throw it in the garbage, let's move on. I have no particular fondness or connection to my printer. It doesn't hold any information. It doesn't make me feel any better about anything. It provides one function and one function only, to print something. Sometimes it'll go as far as to scan. Thank you for scanning. Sometimes it'll make a copy of something, but its primary objective is to print something out that I see on my screen. I have no great attachment to any of my printers. So I go down to a printer store, which is called Staples. If you want a printer, you go to Staples. If you want Staples, you go to a store called Printer. I think that's the way it's supposed to work. It makes no sense. In one sense, it makes no sense. In the other sense, it makes a lot of sense. So I go to Staples and I walk in there and they happen to be very, very friendly for some reason. I think they're friendly because I went at 8:30 at night when nobody else would go into Staples, really, for any reason. You don't go buying stuff in Staples at 8:30 at night. But that's when I went in, and there were plenty of customer service people in the store to say, can I help you? Do you need some help? Can I help you? And I thought, this is nice, because in the middle of the day, apparently I'm a piece of shit. You don't even come over to me. I stand in line for like 3 hours just to, in your print and copy section there. Put some more people on. 8:30 at night, beautiful. I'm the only person in the place. So like I say, the guy, I need a printer, something simple that performs the function of printing things. That's all I'm really looking for. I don't want it to make coffee. I don't want it to build a shed in the back of my house. I just want it to print things. That's all I want. That's all I'm asking. He says, well, this one's beautiful. It prints beautiful, beautiful color photographs. No, I'm not looking to have color photographs printed. I do that very rarely. I just want something fucking printed. That's all. Just like it print my email. That's all I'm looking for. Something really simple like that. He says, well, here's a printer. It's an HP printer. I said, oh, HP, I've heard of that. I don't know what it stands for. Horse poop? Hewlett-Packard? One of the two. I don't know which. It's $59. $59 for a printer. So $59. Do I have to etch it out myself? He says, no. He says, it prints out fine. It holds up to 100 sheets of paper. Print quality is very good. It prints very, very quickly. It's very, very simple to use. It makes copies. It scans. $59. So, oh my God, I'll take that. $59? Seriously? That's a couple of drinks at the bar. $59, you bet. I'm taking it right now. He says, fine. He says, but I want to tell you, it comes with sample ink cartridges in the box, which really are only good for about 10 copies. Although that's wonderful. Why do they bother doing that? Why do they bother putting ink cartridges in the box that only print out about 10 copies? What is the point of it? Why even bother? Why even make cartridges that are that small? So he says, well, would you like a box of cartridges? I said, fine. How much is that? He said, $59. I said, okay, was this the $59 sale today? Have I gone to the $59 store? I've seen all the dollar stores are all over the country. Are you opening up like $59 stores? Is that what you're doing? He says, ah, you must be one of those radio talk show hosts. I said, yes. And my brother is Jean-Claude Van Damme. And the guy goes, oh. But it's still $59. I said, okay. And I've yet to set it up because this was just last night. But I'm saying to myself, well, wait a minute. Now, let's break this on down here. The printer itself was $59. The replacement ink cartridges, which I'm going to have to do about once a month, is also $59. So, in other words, the price of the ink cartridges is the same as the damn technology in the machine and the machine itself. Where does this start not to make sense? Shouldn't the ink cartridges be like a small fraction of the price of the piece of equipment that I'm using it on? Should the price of the monthly ink cartridge be as much as the entire machine cost? No, it shouldn't. It makes no sense. I laugh because it's so absurd. It's absurd. I should have got like a $5,000 printer. Then with $59 replacement cartridges, it would have made some sense. But to replace the ink for the same price that it cost to buy the machine? No, it's stupid. But I bought it anyway, and that's just the way it is. Then I'm thinking, what the hell is ink? What the hell is it? I don't know what's in ink. It's one of those unsolved mysteries to me. I don't know what ink is. All I know is when it gets on your fingers, it doesn't come off that easily or at all. It's something you can't wash off. It has to wear off. That's not good. But I don't know what it is. Is there an animal called an ink and they squeeze the ink out of it to put into cartridges? I don't quite understand what ink really is made of. I don't get it. But whatever it is, I'm thinking, how can it be worth $59? They're tiny little cartridges. I can't imagine there's more than like maybe a teaspoon of ink in every cartridge, if even that. That's cost. What am I buying perfume here? If I bought that much perfume, it wouldn't cost me that much more than $59 either. And I know perfume, they have to squeeze it out of the tits of skunks. I don't know where ink comes from. Does it come from a squid? Are they squeezing? Is this squid juice? What is this stuff that I'm using? Colored squid juice? I don't know. But I'm fairly certain it's not worth $59. I think when whoever makes this ink, I think they make tubs and tubs and tubs of it for like 50 cents. I'm getting that feeling. And then they put it in a cartridge and they sell it to me for $59. I think someone's being taken advantage of, and I believe it's me. I think the ink companies go to the bathroom in the middle of the day not to pee, but to secretly laugh at me. They go into the bathrooms at ink companies and they laugh at the public. I can't laugh at them publicly, but they are so stupid. Here's what we did. We took squid juice. We got so much of it, man. And we put it in these little plastic containers. And we sell it for $59. And people buy it. They actually buy it. Because they have no choice. We all charge $59. All of us. All of us in the ink company. We have a pact. We all charge $59. They can't run their printers without them. The public is smart enough to know that it's not worth having a printer for more than $59, but they're not smart enough to know that they're paying $59 for squid juice. I just don't understand it. What is this specialized? I mean, it's like I'm buying sperm or something. I mean, like somebody went to, even that shouldn't be $59. So I'm not thrilled about it, but that's what happened. And that's my funny story.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Wildlife poaching doesn't just happen in faraway places. It's a crime committed against countless wild animals all around you. Poachers don't care about hunting seasons, endangered species, or even the safety of other humans. The Humane Society Wildlife Land Trust, which protects wild animals through habitat preservation and by confronting cruelty, needs your help. Learn your state's wildlife laws, so when you witness a crime against a wild animal, you can report it immediately. Help protect wildlife at wildlifelandtrust.org.
Smart lights, smart locks, smart thermostats. You love your new connected technology. And the Consumer Technology Association wants to help you protect the security of your devices. First, don't use default or easy-to-guess passwords. Create unique ones and keep them safe. Next, look for and install security updates from device manufacturers. Also, have an active firewall for your home router. And consider using a professional installer to set up your new devices. Easy tips from the Consumer Technology Association to help keep your devices secure.
Come on.
Let's talk about sex, baby. Oh, let's yeah. Talk about you and me.
Let's talk.
Let's talk about all the good things and the bad things that may be. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex. Let's talk about sex.
Hey, let's talk about sex. Actually, we're not really going to be talking about sex. We're going to be talking about meeting people. As you know, there's no place to meet anybody anywhere. Many workplaces, which is the places where you work, have policies that you cannot date other employees. And if you're caught dating other employees, you have to buy ink cartridges. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's true. So you can't meet people there. And if you meet people in a bar, oh my goodness. It's a horrible idea. Let's get drunk and talk to each other. And now we're finding something in common. The only thing you have in common is that you both get drunk. That's all. So a lot of people are going online to meet people. Yes, they are. That's where the people are. They're online. And now we've divided our dating experience into various sectors and various groups. There's actually a dating site called Christian Mingle, where Christians apparently mingle with each other. They, do you like animals? Yes. Do you are you a creative person?
Yes.
Do you have a sense of humor?
Yes.
Are you Christian?
Yes.
So now, hey, as long as you're Christian, let's have babies. You know, I don't quite get that part of it. There are Jewish dating sites because in many situations, only Jews will date Jews. Other situations, only Christians will date Christians. I prefer the inter stuff, you know, where it can be anybody, anytime, any people with nice eyes, people with bad eyes, people who are fat, people who are skinny, people who are black, people who are white, people who are idiots, people who are not idiots. I think there should be a dating site like that, idiots.com. If you're an idiot, go to idiots.com and meet another idiot. I think that would be a marriage made in heaven for idiots. And they do very well. They do very well. They really would. There is also a site that is quite popular now, believe it or not. And I do believe it. And it is blackpeoplemeet.com. I believe that's what it is. We'll find out when I do this interview. And celebrity Stacey J. Johnson, who is also a relationship expert, is going to tell us about it, where you can hook up and find your perfect person. Stacey J. Johnson joins us now. She's talking about blackpeoplemeet.com. She's a relationship expert. How are you, Stacey?
Hi, Ron. How are you today?
I'm great. Thank you very, very much. Tell me about blackpeoplemeet.com.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on your show today. I did my little research, and I was like, oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to be on the phone with him.
Oh,
so thank
cool.
you for having me on the show today. But first of all, I want to introduce myself. I'm an author.
Mm-hmm.
I have a book called Date Girl, 143 Reasons Why I Believe Women Should Date Multiple Men.
Mm-hmm.
And what I always like to tell women is, first of all, ladies, we're talking about dating. Not sleeping with, but just dating multiple men.
Okay.
Absolutely. So no sleeping, just dating multiple men. And what I always tell women is we have to reposition or we have to reevaluate our life choices as it pertains to finding love. And we have to stop concentrating on the result of the date. Now, what is the result of the date? I mean, sitting in front of someone tall, dark, and handsome that you may absolutely be saying, oh, wow, he would make a great husband, but not really enjoying the date. And that's so important. We have to be open to the journey that each individual takes us on. And there'll be some good dates and there'll be some bad dates, but we have to date. And positioning is important. And what I always like to say is I would rather position myself to date on the number one site for black singles, and that's Black People Meet. That is exactly what I believe. Why not position myself? We position ourselves in our careers, right, Ron?
Yes. Yeah, we do.
Absolutely. So then let's position ourselves to date better.
Right,
it's a numbers game, so we got to do it.
Yeah, and there's you don't meet people unless you meet people. I mean, otherwise you don't just sit there and hope it to happen. You have to actually go out and do.
Exactly. I always tell people unless you want to fall in love with the UPS man, which is a great guy.
Yes.
Or the postman, which is an even greater guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or the Federal Express man, which is
even better. Even better.
Exactly. Or the Jehovah Witness. Because Jehovah Witness, they do make their rounds these days.
They get around. They get
around. And if you don't want it to be, what'd you say?
They get around, yes.
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 So if you don't want it to be anyone from that group, you need to get out of the house to date.
I got you.
And you have to go to your happy hours. You know, some cities, they have your local alumni happy hours. You have to do that. You have to, if you're at church and you're sitting on the same pew every day, you got to move around. You can't sit on the same pew. You got to go to some different
but,
it,
but
pews.
It's also very important,
you
to,
know?
But it's also very important to go with a place that has a success rate and has a reputation, and that's blackpeoplemeet.com, where you can feel comfortable within those confines.
Exactly. And black people meet their own. They're created by Match.com, which for me, because Match has been around for, oh gosh, since I was probably a teenager.
Yes.
I think what's important about that is it goes back to positioning. You want to position yourself in a climate where people have been around and been doing this and been connecting love for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
And I always say you have to ask yourself, you know, you have to really take stock at what you want in a relationship. Do you want a mass market dating site that it has everyone? Or do you want a site to join a site where there's no guessing if someone is interested in you?
Yes.
And
yeah,
I know for me, yeah, I would rather position myself on a site where there is everyone is interested in me. And I believe personally that's Black People Meet.
Perfect. So you go to blackpeoplemeet.com. That's the place to go. That's the place to start and start feeling comfortable and start meeting who you want to meet.
Exactly. And I would always say it's really cool because you can get it from your phone. If you download the app, the app is so incredibly convenient. You go on, download, you go into the website, download the app, and let's start really... I always like to say, because anytime I think about Black love and I think about the benefits of loving a Black woman, is the Obamas. I mean, to me, Michelle Obama and our former president, exactly, Barack Obama, are the epitome of what I believe Black love is. Every opportunity our former president, Barack Obama, was given, he always uplifted his wife, Michelle Obama, and it really goes to, I can tell you, we did a study at Black People Meet, and we asked Black men, hundreds of Black men, what they really, what was profound about dating a Black woman, and they said they appreciated not just that we were strong, because Black women, we're always strong, we're always holding it down, but they said they appreciated our loyalty and our confidence and our style and our swagger and how supportive we are. And then also with Rachel Lindsay being the first African-American Black bachelorette, we're even now nationally, we're sexy and we're desired. So
there you go.
Absolutely.
How I wish they were still in the White House, my God, but that's a whole nother subject. Anyway, we're running very short of time. Wouldn't it be funny if you went to blackpeoplemeet.com and you actually met the UPS guy who comes to your door anyway? No kidding. Okay, never mind. Okay.
That's fun, Ron.
Okay. Stacy, thank you for your time. Blackpeoplemeet.com. Go there. And thank you for your time, Stacy.
All right. Thank you, Ron. That's right, guys. Go download that Black People Meet app today. Have a great day.
Take care. Bye-bye. Hey girls, do you have the fantasy of a UPS man coming to your door? There's a knock. You open the door, and there's a UPS man carrying a package for you.
Though the bird is on the wing, and you may.
And you invite him inside, and as you take him upstairs to your bedroom, you strip all his UPS uniform clothes off, and you have wild, passionate, unbridled sex. There's no bridle involved. And you lie there in the bed on the satin sheets, smoking a cigarette. And you don't even smoke. And the UPS guy quickly gets his clothes on, and he says, "Look, this has been great, but I've got to continue my route. I've got other packages to deliver." And you give the UPS man a passionate kiss. And he says, "Goodbye. This has been like two trucks passing in the night. Goodbye, lady." And you say to him, "Goodbye, UPS man. The fantasy sex of my dreams."
Right now.
And his truck pulls away and you're left with simply the package that he delivered to you. And you will open up the package and you look at it and you say to yourself, why, I never ordered this. Nine months later, you're having the UPS man's baby. And that's one package you can never return. I'm out of time. Thank goodness, huh? I'll be back again tomorrow with another show. Until then, I wish you peace. Thank you.